What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Evolve You Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brian McElderry, holistic life coach, business mentor, speaker, and author. And on this podcast, we deliver exciting episodes, not only from myself and my own experiences, but other influential guests we decide to bring onto this platform to share their story and their expertise. With that being said, if you're on here for the first time, welcome on. If you are showing up supporting our guests, you are amazing. And hopefully you stay for more episodes and you go check out our previous episodes. If you enjoyed this one, go ahead and leave us a rating review down below. If you want to pause it for the cause, as I say, and go ahead and leave us a rating review, that would be amazing. Email our guests, email myself as far as what you enjoyed about the podcast and which maybe episodes you listened to. So let's get that out of the way right now. And what I like to do is always welcome on my guests by saying, you are tired of hearing from me all the time. So I love to have influential guests that I respect, either in the coaching industry, personal development, business, or their health expertise. And I think we've been on a roll as of late, just having amazing guests that are very open, very vulnerable, and allowing themselves to showcase their story to inspire other people. So on today's episode, we are having the conscious business, personal development, spiritual man that has shown up for so many people, not only for himself, but other people, and inspired them to be the best versions of themselves through his coaching experience and his just transitional experience in life. And I think his story and his area of expertise in getting you to be the best version of yourself, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a person that's looking to transition into your purpose, I think this man right here is going to inspire you in that way. So welcome on to our show today, Jake Kaufman. What's going on, Jake?
What's going on, brother? Great to be on. Great to be a guest here. Really excited about our conversation today.
I love it. So as I always do with my guest, Jake, I like to open up the conversation just for people to get to know you from your base story in short and kind of what brought you, and we can lead that into what you do now and how you are serving in the coaching space and how people are getting amazing transformations.
Awesome. Yeah. So as you put it, I'm a conscious business coach and personal development coach for online coaches and consultants. In terms of being a conscious coach, what that looks like, it is really creating awareness around not only what drives us and what motivates us, but of course, leading in a new and different way, being driven by service and impact as opposed to just business and the money, and really wanting to see change happen and be change makers. So that's the focus of my coaching, which starts with self, right? Transformation starts with the I, and then it moves to the we, and then of course to the all. And we can't influence others or coach others from a space that we have yet to go within ourselves. And so that's the approach that I take to my coaching first and foremost, is through the lens of personal development. So that's kind of how I approach coaching people around business and mentoring them on business.
Yeah. So as we backtrack a little bit, now that people are like, he has credibility, I kind of want to know how he got to that point, right? And sure. Your story is very unique. And I like to make it very open and transparent that a lot of people know that I don't have a lot of conversations in depth with a lot of my guests before they come on. My audience knows that, and it's a surprise or either a revelation for, I think, all of us. And it just creates for such a transformational time here on the podcast. So if you could take us back to, wherever you feel like that breaking point was, and tell people where you're from as well to give context.
Yeah. Great question. And I love that we're starting out in this way. So pardon me, I come from the healthcare technology space, professionally speaking. I've been in some form of corporate sales, the vast majority of my professional career, before starting my own coaching business, in January of 2019. So just about a year and a half ago now. But if we go further back, I grew up in a small town in Michigan, about 1,000 people, just about an hour outside of Chicago, right on Lake Michigan and the Indiana border, if you're, familiar with the geography of the Midwest. And so I grew up in a very, very insulated environment, very conservative in nature, very sheltered. And it was through growing up that I had a series of traumatic experiences that really became the basis for my identity and my belief system and how I perceived myself. And this started off at a really early age, all the way going back to right around 2 years old. Mm-hmm. But if we fast forward, kind of the real pivotal defining moment, if you will, came when I was sexually assaulted at Christian summer camp when I was right around 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. In middle school, which, like I said, ultimately became kind of the foundation of my identity and how I saw myself, and that I didn't really fit in. Mm-hmm. And that I didn't belong in my hometown. As you can imagine, I felt extremely isolated and lonely and sad after that event, which just made me turn to looking for significance and inclusion elsewhere. Yeah. And so, you know, fast forward over the years through high school on into college and into my professional life, it really had me bouncing from place to place to place, because every step along the way, I didn't feel like I belonged there. Yeah. And I didn't really feel fully accepted or included, not because I wasn't, just because I was continuing to recycle the beliefs and the pain and the trauma from that incident of experiencing, you know, sexual abuse or sexual assault.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it had me get fired from every professional job I ever had. Mm-hmm. It had me, you know, either consciously or subconsciously sabotage every romantic relationship I ever had, bounce from group of friends to group of friends, move from city to city, and just living out the effects of the beliefs that came from that event. Yeah. So, and I think that's just really profound when you think about it, not in terms of my story and what happened to me, but how, when we don't resolve the things of the past, they continue to predict our future.
Yeah.
Right. And as long as you're holding on to something, you know, it will hold you back.
Yeah. That's so profound, because, you know, anyone that's listening, everyone has some experience that shapes them in some form or fashion, whether they acknowledge it or not. And I think the ones that are transformational and the ones that are leaders during our generation now are the ones that have acknowledged it at some point. So take us back again, if you don't mind, after that experience and you started moving into these different spaces, what kind of beliefs were you holding on to, that you weren't worthy enough, that you were afraid to express that happened, you know, 10 plus years ago?
Sure.
Like, how did that transform how you were present or not present in those spaces?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's a great question. First, I kind of want to preface it by talking about, you know, the worthiness conversation that you spoke into, because I really feel that on some inherent level, we all struggle with a sense of worthiness.
Agreed.
And I truly think that our ego, right, the self-protection mechanism in all of us, uses that lack of worthiness to basically hide our core wound from us. Mm-hmm. And your core wound is this subconscious belief that is at the core of your identity and your belief system, right? Which means you just create from that space, you manifest from that space, you attract others from that space, right? So if you look at the results that you continue to create in your life across the board, it actually serves as a roadmap back to your core wound. So I very much, if you're familiar, to anybody listening, if you're familiar with the Enneagram test, it's very similar in nature to the childhood wound that is talked about and is so prevalent within the Enneagram test and just the field of thinking, which is this idea that we have very much a defining moment early on in our childhood, typically between the ages of 2 and 7, when the vast majority of our cognitive development takes place. And that event produces a central belief that then becomes kind of the core of our identity, how we perceive ourselves, other people in the world, how we relate to other people in the world, and of course ourselves, which of course dictates the way that we think, feel, and act, which is then, you know, it's going to just manifest all of our results, our actions, our decisions, our behaviors, and all of those things. So what that was for me, because of course, for the longest time, I thought it was a worthiness conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. When really it was much deeper than that. What my results told was a completely different story, painted a completely different picture, was this idea that I didn't belong.
Mm.
And this is what had me recycle relationships, had me recycle friend groups, had me move from city to city to city, simply because I was living out the truth of that belief. Because of course, by virtue, beliefs are that which is true.
Yes.
Right. So it was my truth. Despite the fact that it's not true, I was living as if it is my truth.
Yes.
And then of course my results just confirm the original belief. And this is the construct that so many people find themselves in, and why people continue to create roughly the same results over the course of their life, or they only see like slow and steady incremental improvement rather than rapid transformation.
Yes.
Which is absolutely possible when you break out of this construct, insofar mm-hmm. that your core belief is the driving factor behind your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, your decisions, which then gets you your results, and then just does what? Reconfirms that original belief, and you just stay caught in this construct. And so I found myself very much trapped in this construct in my own way. And it wasn't until I started working with a coach myself that I was able to recognize it, because our beliefs, right, they reside in our subconscious. Our identity resides in our subconscious. So we're unaware of these things until we take a much closer look. And I would go so far as to say, until we have a guide that mm-hmm. can lead us there, that can bring these subconscious beliefs to the conscious level, we can't break out of that construct, because your ego is going to try to hide your core wound from you because it's a survival mechanism, right? It relies on that belief to keep you in your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is why breaking out of your comfort zone is so uncomfortable and involves so much fear. It's an egoic response that activates your nervous system in a way that keeps you stuck in it. Because in the mind of your ego, outside of that is, of course, what? A lack of safety, right?
Yeah.
Or threats to your safety. And so it's going to resist that process, which is why growth is so uncomfortable for so many people. And which is why, you know, in the words of Robin Sharma, if you've ever read The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, he says most people repeat the same year 70 times and they call it a life. You know, it's kind of like this groundhog-esque Bill Murray day over and over and over again, where we're, you know, setting these New Year's resolutions. And of course, come like March, we're, you know, we haven't done any of them. We haven't accomplished any of them.
And
this is why the atypical approach to growth and to transformation doesn't work, because we're constantly attacking the behavior
mm-hmm.
instead of the belief that's driving the behavior.
Wow. That's good. That's good. I took a lot of things out of there. And I think I love to take people on a journey here of a how, right? Okay. We have a lot of philosophy, and I think that is the wonderful thing about coaching. And we can go into that a little bit, as people think that, oh, Brian, this sounds a lot like what you talk about, but on a different perspective and a different level. And I'm going to ask this question really quick. If very simplistically, a lot of people get confused on the notion of, do I need a coach or do I need a therapist? Because it sounds like what's in my mind and what's in my thoughts. I'm not sure if you've experienced this, but for me personally, a lot of my clientele have come from therapy and have said, I don't know if it was working for me. And not to say, obviously, therapy is necessary at certain times, but what is your belief around that? And then we can dive into what you were saying, just because it was on my top of my head.
Totally. So I mean, and let me be very clear. Yep. I think therapy can be really impactful.
Yes.
And is very effective for some people when it is delivered and administered by the right person, right?
And agreed.
We both know this, that there are good coaches and bad coaches. There are good therapists and there are bad therapists. But what I would say is the typical approach to modern talk therapy is very limited in nature and in scope because the clinician's ability to guide their client towards breakthrough.
Yep.
And when I mean breakthrough, I mean breakthrough in results.
Exactly.
Is very limited in nature because of liability.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a coach, because things are not nearly as regulated within the coaching industry as in, you know, the therapy world or the clinical world, we have a lot more bandwidth to be able to move someone through the levels of emotional intelligence, right? Which starts with self-awareness and self-management, which is where modern talk therapy spends most of its time, in my opinion, where people continue to go. They continue to come into new levels or new layers of awareness around why they are the way they are, what drives them, their underlying motivation, but they never move to social awareness or social management, which is the incorporation and integration of that awareness into their life, into their relationships, into their work in a way that takes them from new levels of awareness to new levels of action. And I think that's where modern talk therapy in general misses the mark insofar, you know, Brian, we don't think our ways into new ways of living. We live ourselves into new ways of thinking.
Yeah.
And that's good. And modern talk therapy is similar in nature to the healthcare space where you heal a patient, you lose a client.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's very much at the foundation of the American healthcare system, whether it's, you know, the mental healthcare system or the clinical healthcare system. And so therapy can be very effective when you have an incredible therapist who's able to move the client, like I mentioned, from the first two levels of emotional intelligence, which is self-awareness, self-management, to social awareness and social management. But again, their capacity is very limited because legally speaking, they can't really tell their client what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And that guidance I've always found is extremely important, that at some point in time, not only do we coach our clients, but we kind of consult our clients. I don't believe coaching is telling people what to do. I think it's asking them powerful questions and creating a safe space for them to step into, to learn to trust themselves in their decision-making. Whereas consulting is kind of providing them guidance around the awareness that you have as their coach, as their consultant, that moves them in a powerful way further toward the social awareness and social management that is so needed to create new behaviors, which is then going to create new results.
Love it. I love it. So I just think that was very important in that moment, because as we're diving deeper into this personal development, transformational consciousness, awareness discussion here, you know, that might be resounding through somebody that's listening right now. It's like, wow, I'm already doing this in therapy, but I don't think, like, why should I continue listening to this? So you should. Let's keep this rolling. You mentioned two words to me that I think, well, I'm going to bring one out, which was ego, right? Sure. Ego is something that my first thought went to Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. And another word that stood out to me was, and this is one that I pulled out, was willpower. And people think that they are strong enough. But like you said, the beliefs, they can change maybe some behaviors. They'll try new morning routines. They'll try new, you know, methods of action daily or weekly, or like you said, set these vision boards and goals. But the belief system is still subconsciously residing in a place where they have not tapped into yet. and that sure. scarcity to tap into that belief that they are thinking that, wow, is that true or is it not true? And they aren't able to answer that question, so it's suppressed and put away.
Sure.
I'd just like to talk about that for a second, maybe pulling out, you know, maybe your belief, all puns intended, around willpower and how strong people think they are. But in reality, we see a lot of weakness with suppression, right?
Sure. Yeah, sure. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, here's what I'll say. I know with regard to Ryan Holiday's book, Ego is the Enemy, what he's talking about is ego in terms of like arrogance.
Exactly.
Or pridefulness. What I'm referring to when I speak to ego, for anybody listening, is the self-protection mechanism in all of us. The lizard part of our brain known as the amygdala that's responsible for our fight, flight responses that is ultimately designed to for self-preservation purposes. That is the difference that we're ultimately wanting to make, the distinction that we're trying to draw here. In terms of willpower, I think it's really important to understand how the brain works if we're going to understand why willpower at the end of the day does not work.
Yeah, exactly.
And only goes so far, which is our conscious mind is responsible for willpower, but it's our subconscious mind that's responsible for motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally speaking, that is the difference between the two things. Here in lies the problem, which is that our conscious mind is only responsible for roughly 5 to 10% of our behavior.
Yeah.
But our subconscious is responsible for 90 to 95% of our behavior. This is why you have so many people that will say one thing and do another. Why? Because there's not, and Brian and I talked about this briefly right before we pressed record, which is, what is alignment really?
Yes.
It's congruence between your subconscious beliefs and your conscious desires. The two things have to match in order for you to create the results that you're hoping to create. And so that's why willpower doesn't work. Because, you know, and I experience this with my clients all the time, and mm-hmm. I have a unique process and modality that I walk them through to create that congruence, which is, right, they say they want something, but their actions tell a completely different story.
Exactly.
And the reason for that is because there's a negative association, right? Or there's a subconscious belief that is overriding their conscious desire,
mm-hmm.
which means, metaphorically speaking, it's kind of like sticking a round peg in a square hole. It's yeah. not going to work. It's not going to fit. So you can want, wish, and hope for whatever that result is all day long, but you're never going to be able to create it mm-hmm. because your ego will use that belief, that underlying belief that you have, to keep you safe, which means that it sees that result mm-hmm. as being outside of your identity,
yeah.
which to your ego means that it's a threat.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be able to create that. I'll give you a really good example of a client that I was coaching recently, because again, my central to my coaching is this the idea of the core wound.
Mm-hmm.
That is central to our belief system. So one of my clients owns an e-commerce business mm-hmm. and started working with me. She was making roughly between $50,000 to $65,000 a month. So yep. she was doing really well for herself, wanting to take her life and her business to that next level. And when we first started working together, I asked her what she would consider success to be by the end of this year being 2020. And she said to make $1 million. So we start digging into her belief system mm-hmm. and into her identity. That's where I always start with all of my clients, is creating yep. right, the self-awareness, right?
Yep.
The first step of emotional intelligence around what drives her behavior, what motivates her in business, in romance, in relationship with herself, et cetera. We come to find out through experiences that she had as a child, and with the results that she continues to create in her life, that her core wound revolves around the belief that she is all alone.
Yeah.
And that she's not supported.
Yeah.
And again, her results speak to this result left, right, and center. So we start to create rapid transformation around that belief, right? Reprogramming around that belief, reintegrating that belief back into her subconscious that she is in fact supported, that she is not alone, that she can in fact trust other people. And we started to look for and analyze all of the areas in her life that that belief showed up.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert, it showed up everywhere in her business, in the men that she continued to attract.
Yep.
So we literally restructured her business because the marketing agency that she used, the employees that she had hired, all reflected this belief back to her. They all confirmed it, right? Confirmation bias 101.
Yep.
All confirmed this belief. And so we hired a new marketing agency. We made strategic hires within her business that actually supported a new belief that she, again, is indeed supported on every level. She can trust other people to show up for her, to do their jobs, to be, you know, agents of change in her life. And then, of course, we did it within romantic relationships as well, because in the past, who did she consistently attract? She attracted addicts, which was so perfect because you think about it, Brian, she wasn't supported in those relationships because they couldn't even support themselves.
Exactly.
They couldn't even support themselves. So every time her ego got to be right about that belief. So we reprogram this belief, recreate the experiences of the past that have happened to her, and completely provide an identity shift and a perspective shift around those things. This month, July of 2020, she did $1 million in business this month alone.
Yeah.
And she's attracted the man of her dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who used to be, and here's the kicker, a former addict who has been 3 years sober.
It's crazy how alignment works, right?
Right. So talk about the juxtaposition between going from consistently attracting men who are addicts, currently struggling with addiction, who can't support her because they can't even show up for themselves, to now attracting a man who has recovered and is capable of supporting her and showing up for her in the way that she needs.
It's good.
And then, of course, her business absolutely exploded when we started to remove the tangible manifestations of that belief in her business, which were, you know, like I said, hires that she couldn't count on, that wouldn't follow through, a marketing agency that was not responsive, that was constantly dropping the ball. And so, of course, this just created a completely different level of results in her life because we completely recreated what was driving her belief system and all of her behaviors.
Wow. That is an amazing story that you shared. I think that I come on here and I agree, and you're probably like, Brian, shut up. Okay. Stop agreeing. Okay. But when I do that, it's really acknowledging the fact that there's alignment here with me and my guest. There is a back and forth that I can really resonate with this because I have clients of the same nature. And I think the work that Jake and I do in the transformational space, but still associating business, life, personal development, relationships, all from a holistic perspective is nothing new, but it's very unique. And a lot of people are pulled in one direction. It's like, I need a relationship coach. I need a life coach. I need a personal development. I need to do this by myself. I need to get my business strategy up and running, which is all okay. But I think what we're trying to get you to understand here, whether you're at a career, as we've both been in, if you're going to a place you don't like, or you are in your own high level business, or you're trying to start your business, whatever situation you're in, planted in now, I do believe that there's a missing piece, and that really is that personal development, acknowledgement, awareness piece that we both start off with however our clients come to us, right? So I want to pull this back and push it back to Jake, actually, and just let him kind of express this journey that he's been on, because we've shared some transformational stuff, but I like to go back and forth. So a piece of your story that stuck out to me too was, if somebody's listening right now, and we'll talk to the entrepreneurs in a second that are listening to, that are wanting that, those strategies, but really for the person that feels stuck and they're doing well, right? You were in a sales position in healthcare that was doing numbers. You're probably one, what, the top salesman, right? One of the top people that was producing. And someone might say, Brian, why'd you leave pharmacy? That's a well-paying, sustainable job. And you went to school for it. For you, you were in a successful position. But where was that point where you're like, okay, coaching changed my life. I'm in a position where I feel like people are coming to me for answers. Where was that transitional period for you to say, I'm going to step into my purpose? And how maybe did you discover what that was to come into more transformational personal development work?
Yeah, totally. Well, let me be the first to say that, you know, we always want to teach what we most need to learn. And so for me, it was really uncovering the purpose in my pain. Right, the gift that my pain gave me, which in my case was compassion, because I never want someone to experience the loneliness, the sadness that I experienced in being sexually assaulted or experiencing some level of abuse, whether it be physical, emotional, or otherwise. I never want somebody to experience that and feel the way that I did. And so it gave me this heart to serve other people and transform other people and feel compassion for their struggle. But it took me going through that for that to really be possible, for me to self-identify with someone else in their struggle and suffer alongside of them in it, which is the literal definition of compassion. It's to suffer alongside someone. And so for me, the breaking point was actually, so I was the one of the founding members of what is now a 9-figure healthcare technology company. So I was the first salesman there, and I grew the business from just myself as the head of sales to having 13 full-time dedicated sales employees in under 2 years, doing roughly $5 million of business a year, you know, going from like $50,000 a year. Basically from nothing, from the ground up, to actually getting fired from my own company. And that really kind of broke me, because on some level, I knew that I basically had worked myself out of the job. And it really forced me to take a long look at my life and the results that I continually and consistently created, to realize I must be missing something here. There's got to be something that I don't know about, that I'm unaware of, that I'm missing, that causes me to continue to create these results in my life, to continue to, you know, recycle friend groups, to continue to avoid intimacy and vulnerability within relationship, to continue to get fired from job after job after job, even my own company. I must be missing something here. And that's what actually drove me to hire a coach. And for those of you listening, I had actually been in the personal development space for years. I actually moved out to California 3 years prior, for that primary reason, to delve into my personal development. But there was still something missing, right, Brian? Because I continued to create, the same results. Because, you know, most coaching is at the level of behavior, right? We look at every fitness coach and every diet and nutrition coach on the planet. Our fitness and our diet and our nutrition, that's just all a behavior. It's all the outcome. It's not the cause, right? There's cause, there's effect. Our physical bodies are ultimately just a representation, a reflection of our subconscious mind. So I knew that there was something that was missing for me. And it really forced me to go within in that moment to figure out what were the beliefs in me that were causing me to continue to behave in the same way and create the same results. And it wasn't until I did that work, that subconscious deep inner work, that I was able to then begin to be vulnerable and step into intimacy, which coming from someone who's been abused or assaulted like myself was terrifying. And literally felt like, well, I mean, we talk about reaction, right?
Of course.
Emotional intelligence is literally your ability and your effectiveness to regulate your what? Your emotions. Mm-hmm. When we react, we are what? We are acting again.
Exactly.
And so we are literally recreating our original trauma. Our nervous system, our ego is recreating the emotions from that experience to what? Prevent it from happening again. Mm-hmm. But you fast forward years after the original incident, when you're completely safe and you're not at risk of getting hurt again, but at the subconscious level, at the level of your nervous system, you are still acting as if you are. And that's what keeps people stuck, to bring this full circle. Whenever somebody tells me that they're stuck, it just tells me that they are lacking in courage in some area of their life, whether that's avoiding a specific conversation, interaction, experience, not taking a risk. And it's not because they're avoiding that thing. They're avoiding the emotions that they've attached to that thing, mm-hmm. which is the emotions that they experienced in the original incident. And so for me, avoiding intimacy, avoiding vulnerability at the subconscious level was the way that I avoided getting hurt again, getting abused and assaulted again. That's what keeps people stuck, is avoiding the emotions, the negative emotions attached to a specific experience. But we all know that on the other side of experiencing a particular emotion is what? Relief.
Yep.
This is why it feels great after you've had a long cry.
Mm-hmm.
You've allowed yourself to transmute those emotions, whether it's anger or sadness or frustration or bitterness or resentment, whatever the emotion is. The reason you feel such relief after experiencing it is because you've transmuted it.
Yeah.
Allowed it to work its way through you so that it can no longer keep you captive.
Yeah. And that release from captivity can come in many different forms. And I love that you reference crying, but you know, you see a lot of this during a time of unrest and uncertainty, people are releasing in different manners. So I think you and I and other people that are very conscious of what's going on, we're recognizing and able to kind of take this overlooking scope and say, okay, we're all uncomfortable, but why is this person reacting out of in this way towards this situation? You know, why does it make them uncomfortable that they can't still create the life? As I saw your post, and I've told many people as well, this during this time, and this is not to boast and to brag for each of us, but I have not been hurting during this time. And that just means that there's so many more people for us to serve, right? There's so many more people that are looking for that transformational process. And I want to lead this in now to people that are listening right now that are entrepreneurs heading in that way, still trying to discover their purpose. Maybe you're successful, maybe you're not successful, maybe you're starting to get started, and maybe you're where we used to be. You're stuck somewhere and you're just trying to remove. So now you know the stuck piece. But transitioning to a person where everything looks good on the outside, many people that probably you and I work with are doing well for themselves through perception of others. Sure. But internally, their perception of themselves is lacking in areas. You may have mentioned it many prior about what this, how that fight or flight and resistance shows up in internally. Maybe give us another example of maybe a client that you've been working through, or in some way, why does this happen? Because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are reverse engineering or trying to reach success and scale very quickly, but we see this self-sabotage at the top, right? They reach the top and now they're like, oh, now I'll work on my personal development. I'll get myself together. And, you know, it's very difficult, as we're seeing, to do that, because people are becoming more aware themselves about who they're being led by and what that person is experiencing. So I guess my question really is, does anything pop up in that nature of the successful person right now that if they are struggling, where that might come from or what they should do in these instances, maybe some modalities or methods you may have that you're willing to share?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, when it comes to building a business, if you're an entrepreneur, you know, think about it in terms of constructing a building. What do you put in place first? You put in place the foundation. Everything rests on the foundation. And the building is only as strong as what it's resting upon. In terms of your business rests on the foundation of your relationship with you.
Yeah, that's good.
And your level of consciousness, healing, personal development, period.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I focus on with my clients is building a solid foundation, which is shifting your perspective around what has happened to you, because until you do that, you will continue to recycle the same emotions attached to what has happened to you, which means that you will just recycle the results. But for me, meditation has been an incredible, incredible modality that has supported me in being non-reactive. In other words, in order to break the cycle of not acting again in relationship to my pain, my trauma, or, you know, the unpleasant experiences that I've had in my life, whether it be around rejection, abandonment. Because on some level, we've all experienced a level of trauma, whether it be physical, emotional, or otherwise. And so meditation has been absolutely incredible, because at the heart of meditation is to be able to experience a particular emotion or feeling and not act in spite of it. And not react to it. And this is the term that they teach is being equanimous, or being neutral and being non-reactive, which is why when it comes to everything that's going on in the world right now with the pandemic, with the racial injustice and all of the emotions that that is bringing up, people are reacting simply from their level of consciousness, healing, and personal development. That is it. This is just exposing who people truly are. That's what it, we talk about money and how money doesn't change people, it just exposes who you really are. The same thing is true for a global pandemic and racial tension. It's just exposing who you actually are, because I think we can both agree that despite feeling frustrated, feeling angry or upset, we can choose to respond in love. We can choose to be patient despite experiencing those very real emotions. And I think that's, I mean, baseline emotional intelligence 101 is knowing the difference between your emotions and your feelings, because the two things are very different, right? Emotions are simply the sensations that we experience around a particular situation, circumstance, or conversation, where our feeling are the stories that we make up about it. The interpretation that we give it. right? Which is why so many people are incapable of having, you know, arguments in which, or excuse me, conversations in which they disagree with somebody.
Yeah. Right? Just having really constructive conversations. No one can have that. Like,
because despite experiencing the emotion of anger, of frustration, what is the story, the feeling attached to it? This person's against me. This person's against me. They don't support me. Yeah. I can't trust them.
Yeah.
Which isn't true, right? Like,
you know. Yes.
Like, intrinsically, it's not true, but empirically, so many people act as if it is true, which we know that it's not, because I'm sure you and I don't agree on everything.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, I think we can both disagree while still holding space and love and compassion for the other person and their beliefs and who they are and where they come from and why they are the way that they are, and actually experience deep appreciation for them.
Yeah.
Despite not agreeing with them.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good.
Which of course creates a wildly different result than if we were to experience that disagreement and respond to each other, you know, with hostility or prevention, separation, whatever, whatever energy, you know, you want to attach to it. And so this is where I would really encourage people to start, is the cornerstone habits, which in my mind are diet, exercise, sleep, and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
If those aren't working in your life, you know, everything kind of falls back to those things, right? We know that, like, what we put in our body impacts our energy. Mm-hmm. We know that getting enough sleep is massively important to our emotional state, and as is meditation, as I described earlier. And so if those things aren't working in my life and I'm not paying attention to those things, how can I expect to show up for other people? Mm-hmm. How can I expect to be in service and in support and actually lead other people if I'm not showing up for myself in the basics and with the basics and practicing those things? So it kind of goes back to what I said at the beginning of this podcast, which is I can only lead someone and guide someone through what I've already led and mm-hmm. guided myself through, or have been guided myself through by somebody else.
And, yeah.
You know, I would encourage everybody who's listening to ask themselves the fundamental question, like, am I being what it is that I'm asking for?
You repeat that for us again.
Yeah. Am I being what it is that I'm asking for? And this kind of goes back to the difference between knowledge and understanding, because so many people know what's not working in their life and they're aware of it, right? But knowledge and understanding are two different things, because I can have all knowledge, but without understanding, it is as if I know nothing.
And we saw that. We saw that, and we continue to see that during not only a health pandemic, but racial injustice and racial tension. I've had many a conversations about the knowledge versus the understanding, and the acknowledgement that you don't have to agree with everyone, but you can acknowledge and gain understanding about what's going on and seek truth and whatever that is. And people don't understand that that stems from their experiences and their beliefs that are so deeply rooted. What you said and what we're saying here is that has not been tapped into, and that ego and that fight or flight continues to resound in that area and hasn't been broken. So as we wrap up here, Jake, I really want to leave people with some tangible things, and obviously they can connect with you afterwards. Everything will be down in the show notes, and hopefully you guys have enjoyed this. If you have, don't forget to rate and review at the end. But I really believe that, number one, referencing back to our entrepreneurs, and don't want to leave our entrepreneurs hanging or anyone that's in business, but people still might not be able to conceptualize how this is showing up in their sales process or enrollment process, their onboarding, the way they're coaching, the way they're leading their clients. And they forget the fact that, I love the fact that you said that you cannot lead unless you're willing to lead yourself, or being led by somebody that you're trusting, or they're being led by. And it's a continuous cycle. And we see that. And I think that that is a point that I really want to drive home, is that business, I tell people, is not everyone is at everyone's at different levels, right?
Sure.
Growing in different manners. But the strategy of business is easy.
Mm-hmm.
The sales, the marketing, the enrollment, profit, loss. Mm-hmm. Are you gaining revenue? Or are you losing? Like that concept is very easy.
Sure.
And I see a lot of entrepreneurs obviously honing in on that so much so that they make it so complex that it's again suppressing something else that they really should be bringing up into alignment with that. So I'm not sure, but that's really what I really wanted to showcase how that shows up, and we've seen it, and you know, I'm pretty sure you see it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's important to recognize that the strategy is only as good as the beliefs of the person that's using it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if there is a block somewhere in your belief system as it relates to your worthiness, as it relates to whether or not you are accepted or whether or not you fit in, you're going to reject any strategy that will oppose that underlying belief, right? So for example, I was talking with a client this morning who is resisting structure. Well, you think about, fundamentally speaking, what energy drives structure, it's masculine energy.
Yeah.
And so we start to unpack this because she's all about ease and flow and intuition and operating from spirit, which is all
great.
It's great and it's wonderful. And, you know, I think we can both agree that some of the best, developments in business have come from people who have truly done deep inner work around trusting their intuition and tapping into their spiritual practices. But without structure, the whole thing kind of falls apart. And so what we came to was that it was really a reflection of her relationship with her dad.
Yeah. That's revealed a lot, especially more with women. I see it all the time.
and then you have the opposite, of course, which
exactly.
is people who are overly regimented and overly reliant on structure and who don't trust themselves or they don't trust other people. Right. And that what that tells me is that there's an imbalance between the masculine nature of structure, of discipline, of systems, and intuition, spirit, creativity, and things that are inherently feminine.
Yeah.
Not female, but feminine.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
There's a massive, massive difference, right? Because, you know, we all have both feminine and masculine energy that are in all of us. And so, you know, I think that's just so important to understand, is that any strategy is only as good as the beliefs of the person that's actually using it, which is why one of the predominant ways in which I support my clients is scaling from a six-figure business to a multiple six and seven-figure online business.
Yep.
And scaling, of course, as you can imagine, requires hiring people, requires delegating and trusting people, which will, of course, expose whatever underlying beliefs or unresolved issues that you have around those things.
Mm-hmm.
And like you talked about, right, people reach a certain milestone and then they work on their personal development. Right? They're basically reactive in nature.
Yep.
It's like, it's kind of similar in nature to being like, oh, I'm fat, now I need to lose weight.
Exactly.
You're being reactive in nature. But imagine what would happen if you were proactive in nature, if you were consistent ahead of time, right? It's kind of the idea that, you know, you invest before you need to,
exactly.
right? Any business, they always hire before they need to, so that that person is ready and onboarded and trained to go when they actually need them. Because if you're constantly operating in a state of reaction, you're always going to be behind.
Yep.
You're always going to be behind the eight ball. And you're not going to be in ownership. You're not going to be in a leadership position. You're going to be constantly reacting to the world around you. And so Scaling your business will absolutely expose all of the unresolved things that you're continuing to hold on to, and whatever beliefs you have that are not in congruence with whatever you're trying to create in the outside world. And so this is what I support my clients with in a big way, and why, you know, for me, the simple answer has always been figure out who I need to be in order to create the result that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then hire somebody who's already there. Who's already done what I've done, because then they can tell me what pitfalls to avoid.
Yes.
And so that's why I think, when you marry the two, because let's be honest, the two are inextricably linked. Business development is just personal development. That's all it is.
Yes.
And so if you're not getting that support, that proactive support, it's kind of like not being proactive around your health and fitness or your diet and nutrition. What's going to happen? You're going to get out of shape.
Yep.
And then you're going to be in reaction to whatever result you succumb to.
Yeah.
Right. And in this case, with your business, and I'll just go back to the client that I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
She has literally $1 million a month, and she wants to step into other types of businesses, other industries. And she's already talking about like dissolving her current business that is by far and away her biggest asset, right?
Yeah.
Because now the conversation, the story has changed. And as she has grown and evolved, what has her ego done? Grown and evolved with her. So now, rather than it being a conversation about, can I have the support to create a seven-figure business?
Yeah. It's,
do I have the support to sustain a seven-figure
business? Exactly.
Her ego has just shifted. And this is what will happen as you grow and evolve as a person, as a business owner, as a partner in relationship, is when your ego no longer has control or influence over a certain area of your life, it will absolutely try to insert itself in a new way, in a different way, in another area of your life.
Mm.
And so that's why this work for me, it's never ending.
Yep.
And why I encourage all of my clients to have a spiritual practice, to prioritize their, like I mentioned, their diet, exercise, sleep, and meditation. But for those of you looking to create new incredible results and lasting congruence in your life, I would start with a very simple exercise, which is simply, writing down three goals.
Yep.
Writing down all of the reasons or the limiting beliefs around why you can't have that thing, create that thing, whatever that thing is. And then an opposite statement.
Yep.
So if it's I'm not worthy, it's I'm more than worthy. If it's I'm not capable, I'm more than capable. And then it's really important that the third portion of this exercise be structured in this way, which is now that these opposite statements are true, I will. And there's your action plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And understand that resistance reveals the way. Resistance is just a roadmap for where you get to go in terms of your growth, in terms of your healing, in terms of your personal development. And when you are willing to face those emotions and work through those emotions as it relates to whatever new results you're trying to create in your life, in your business, in your relationship, it's freedom is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But most people back down from those emotions because of what it reminds them of, which is the pain from whence it came.
Yeah.
And when you no longer look back on the things that have happened to you from a painful perspective, but a purposeful perspective, that's when you can create a different future.
Yep.
Because you no longer operate from those same emotions, which means that you're no longer going to show up in the same way. Oh. That's when rapid transformation is truly possible.
Yeah. I'll have to drop the mic on that one. I don't really say that a lot, only because people need to hear these things. They need to hear what is real and maybe that sounds uncomfortable for them. Sure. And someone might be wondering, well, after I've written these things down, where do I go? Mm-hmm. You don't have to go alone. And that's why we're here, showing up here for you. And if that step is to take with someone you trust, maybe it's Jake, whoever it may be, that, sure. that step doesn't have to be taken alone. I think that is the next step that people are, again, another barrier that they might have. But why I love to pull stories out is because it is a foundation for potential trust. It's a foundation for understanding and the ability that it can be done. You know, Napoleon Hill, obviously, firm believer in that book. Obviously the new updated versions, and there's some things in there that are obviously coming from a masculine point of view, but if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. So if right now you're feeling
makes it so.
Exactly.
Thinking makes it, that's the second half of that quote that very few people actually know, is whether you think you can or you think you can't, the thinking makes it so, right? There's this African proverb that I'm sure you'll appreciate, I'm sure you've heard of, which is, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Exactly.
And so that's why I see investing in coaching, investing in personal development as essential to my life and my growth, and my business, as showering. You know, it's just something that I do because, you know, in my eyes, you're either progressing or you're regressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting.
Yeah.
There's no in between. There's no such thing as stagnation.
Nope.
There's no such thing as actually being stuck, because the universe is constantly in motion and we are constantly in motion. The only thing that keeps us stuck is our perception of where we're at and who we're being in that moment that causes us to hold back and not do what we know we need to do. The growth that everyone's looking for, the breakthroughs that everybody is looking for, is on the other side of the things that you're avoiding.
Yep. Wow.
That's a hard and painful truth.
That is. We'll leave it right there. So that being said, Jake, I appreciate you, and I love to leave on that point because I love having people thinking. You know, I've had people like come on my individual solo episodes and my guest episodes saying, you left me on an edge. Yeah. That edge is the next step of your action, of what you need to do and move forward, right? So I appreciate you so much. I'm going to leave this open to you now. Just tell people where they can find you, maybe some new things you have coming, what you have available. If they decide, hey, like Jake, maybe for me, I want to learn more about him, or maybe his story just resonated with you so deeply.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you asking. So the best way to find me is on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's at Jacob Kaufman. So KAUFFMAN. As well as my website, which is jacobkaufman.com /home. If you're looking for the homepage, you can connect with me there. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can also sign up to pre-order my upcoming book called Love Me, which delves more into my story and the growth that I've experienced around what happened to me growing up and how I've been able to serve and support other people who have struggled with the same thing or similar things. And look forward to connecting with everybody further.
Love it.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
You got it, man. You got it. So everybody, thank you so much again for tuning in, staying in with us. If this did help you, please rate and review, leave us a comment on iTunes, reach out to Jake. All the stuff will be down in the show notes. Check out his new stuff, pre-order his book, whatever you need to do to support if it resonated with you. That being said, we'll see you guys on the next episode.